Pratap, where are you right now?
Oh, I'm sitting inside an IKEA closet. So if you guys don't hear from me for some time, please know that I'm under a closet because it might have toppled and it's an IKEA closet. It could happen. It has been known to happen.
Can you tell us more about this particular choice of recording studio?
No, so the last time I recorded our intro and sign-off, Thomas wasn't happy with it. I had to record it like 3-4 times. And the last time I did it inside the closet. And it was fine. So I thought, okay, might as well do it here.
Hi, you're listening to Record of Change. This is the final episode of season 2, which is a behind-the-scenes episode. The team behind this podcast are located on 3 continents and most of us have never met in person. Our day jobs are very diverse and both our backgrounds and environments shape how differently we experience the pandemic and how we perceive our interviewees. This is something we want to reflect on in this episode. Also, when we started this podcast, we thought of 3 seasons maximum, hoping that the pandemic might be mastered by the beginning of 2021, latest. Well, it's the end of 2020 and we all know better now. So, we also want to share how we will proceed. But before we start, we would be very pleased if you would follow or review us on your favorite podcast app and even more if you want to share with your friends. Thank you. Now, let's jump into this episode. I just realized, I mean, we always say we are a diverse team, we are, but actually today it's only 5 of us and 2 of them are East Coast US and 3 of them are in one province in Germany, North Rhine-Westphalia. So much about diversifying it.
Well, even though we are not geographically diverse, we are diverse in different ways then.
That's right.
Yes, East Coast is reporting. Hi, this is Thomas. And if you had seen me on our video chat that we are having here, you saw me heavily nodding about the audio situation. Very happy with your choice, Pratap.
Thank you.
Maybe also for those who don't know, who are just listening and wondering how are we recording, we do all of this remotely. We never met in a team. We never met our interviewees. I think most of them we have never met in person. And this brings me to my next question. We live in different places, in different locations, and different circumstances. How have your lives been affected recently by the pandemic, and what's the current status where at the place where you are right now?
So not too long ago, there was Thanksgiving here in the US, and that was the first time that I got tested for COVID. Actually, I got tested 3 times. One time before we went to visit family, which we decided to do only for one holiday, and we picked Thanksgiving and not Christmas. And family is only 2 people, so actually, we were 4 people total, and that we thought was a risk we could take. But still, we decided everyone should get tested before. And then for Thanksgiving, we went to Delaware. And I live in New York. And if you go to Delaware and come back to New York, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. But there's a way around that. And that is, if you leave from your destination before you leave, you take a test there. So took a test in Delaware, and then take another test 4 days later in New York, and then you get out of quarantine. So that was my 3rd test within like a week or a week and a half. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. And I thought a lot about how this whole thing went down. I had like looked up how can I get tests. I didn't want to go to a doctor because I have a copay with my health insurance, and legally, tests should be free for everyone, but I didn't want to risk anything. And so I looked up other opportunities to test, and I found like 3 different locations, someone by the state, someone by the city, where I could get tests for free. And I went, and I didn't have to show any ID. I didn't have to show my health insurance card and didn't have to show my credit card. It was all free and very accessible. And I was really amazed by that. And that made it clear to me like how different our experiences are, because even from Germany, which is like on a similar standard of living as a country, I hear very different accounts of how difficult it is to get tests, even with like a good health insurance system and all of that. And on the other hand, I see people in Germany getting very good masks, like FFP2 masks. You can't get them here. It's impossible. So in the details, I think our experiences are very different.
Yeah, that's right. I passed a pharmacy this morning and I saw a long queue of elderly people because I think since this week, people of the age of 60 and above are allowed to get 3 FFP2 masks for free at every pharmacy, which is good. But I felt like pharmacy are kind of overwhelmed by this sudden demand. And then when it comes to tests, so if I may share from my side, I have been to Palestine until 10 days ago, 12 days ago. And I only been there for 15 days because I had to finish my current job there and close my apartment there. And coming back, I felt very insecure, especially on a flight. I even had to remind my sitting neighbors to please wear the mask properly. So since I live with a family and a little kid, I was keeping distance for some days, which was I felt very bad and sad, to be honest about it. And I did a test after 5 days, which was negative, but I'm still paranoid. And I just, before we started recording this, I shared that I will take another test today because I think I feel symptoms. I think I, you know, but I'm not sure. And I just want to end this paranoia and be sure that I didn't bring anything here, which would be terrible. And testing here, if you meet certain criteria, it's easy to get a test on weekdays. Weekend seems like holy to Germans. There's hardly any testing. And maybe today, because the second one is short time, I might have to pay myself, which I'm okay to do.
Talking about testing, I agree that like it is very different what Thomas described and what is happening in Germany. I recently talked to a colleague who is Dutch, and she is planning to drive across the border of Germany and the Netherlands to go back to her parents' place for Christmas. And she planned to do the test so that she wants to make sure that like she doesn't have any risk for her parents. The point being, it is very difficult to get a test here in Germany, and you have to go through so many layers of bureaucracy to get yourself a plot on the test. But what she does is that she told me she is thinking about just tell the house doctor that one of her colleagues had the virus so that she could got test too. Otherwise, she would not have the opportunity to be tested.
I shifted last month from Frankfurt to Düsseldorf. I have to say, though, I did not think I would be able to pull this off without at least a COVID scare. We had to interact with our movers, and they were here in the flat for a whole day, and we were always in close contact with them. And I was very sure that something or other is going to pop up, and we're definitely going to have to take a test. But thankfully, none of that sort happened. I felt a little anxious to be in close contact with so many people at the same time in your own flat. But thankfully, things worked out okay. Stephanie, are you going to college? Is your college? You said you were teaching from home, no?
Yeah, I'm teaching from home. Funny enough, I saw my first colleague since March, just last week. I was not wearing a mask during some of it because I had to be recording, and she was wearing a mask. We were distant from each other. It felt very safe. That was probably the highest risk activity that we had in our household until yesterday. Yesterday, I had to take my husband to the hospital, to the emergency room. He's okay, but we're now in a situation where we might just have to wait some time and see if we can even see family because it's going to be a while. He felt relatively safe, but obviously you're interacting with doctors, there are patients in different areas. He felt as though, and this isn't confirmed, but he felt as though when hearing people that maybe the COVID patients were in a different area than where he was. So hopefully that was the case. But in any case, in terms of high risk activities, ours was just yesterday. Yep.
Fingers crossed, everything is going to be fine for you and your husband. This brought me to the question of how do you guys feel about, I think we all live in places where now we experience the so-called second wave. Stephanie Thomas, sorry, I'm not sure if you call it a second wave in the US. In Europe, we definitely do.
We call it third wave, but at the same time, they're very slight dips. So I don't even know if it's as much of a wave as we like to think it is.
Mm. How do you guys feel about it at the moment? For me personally, I can share that. Yeah, now with the end of the year and maybe weather is changing, so moods are changing, I feel much more depressed at the moment than I did earlier this year. And also when we started our podcast, I felt much more relaxed than I do now.
I think when we first started the podcast, we still had pretty high hope about maybe just going to last for a few more months, or at the worst, by the end of 2020. And then by now, I think I also find myself in a much deeper, or worse mental health state, because now all we know is that it's going to last for longer than expected, even with the vaccines and all of that. Like, I don't know how are the plans of vaccinations or vaccine distribution in other places, but I read on the news the other day that in Germany, of course, the vaccination would be distributed to people with higher risk. So basically people, elderly people. But for example, people at my age, which is around 30s, then it's going to be one of the last group to be distributed with the vaccinations. So it's going to be the end of 2021. And what is depressing about it for me personally is that I know that I'm going to spend the rest of my PhD with COVID, with the pandemic. I mean, realistically, I don't see the pandemic coming to an end in 2021, or at least until the end of 2021. And I'm planning to finish my PhD by the end of 2021 or the beginning of 2022. So basically, by the time that I try to finish my PhD, that the pandemic would come to an end, which is pretty depressing for me.
When the first wave started, when we were under lockdown in Germany, a friend of mine who works for a news agency, she told me, this is going to go on for another couple of years. At first, I did not believe her. I thought she was being unrealistic. But now towards the end of this year, it's totally going to be the case. We're going to live through this pandemic for another year or more.
I think the thing that's particularly scary relates to what you were saying, Hoi, when I work with people that are probably going to be at the end of the line in terms of COVID vaccines. And I myself, not being as young as you, but, you know, towards the younger end, will also be towards the back of the line. But there's a lot of pressure for universities to open. And in fact, layoffs happen because of the fact that universities aren't making as much money. So they have to lay off staff. And it's impacted us even personally as a household. So I feel like on one hand, I understand that pressure that students want to be in person, they want to experience university life and all the things that they've been looking forward to. At the same time, I mean, we're the ones that aren't going to probably get vaccinated in a timely way. So I'm really curious as to see what will happen with universities in the coming year, because in 2021, it doesn't seem like we're going to be as adequately prepared as hoped. So it's kind of interesting to work with young folk that will also not be getting the vaccine anytime in probably 2021. And it is quite unfortunate.
Well, let's look back to what we learned throughout our second season. I think all of us made very different experiences in touch basing again with our interviewees, with, of course, at the first place, it was about introduction, was about learning where they are and what they are facing. Now I think we all learn different moods and more sides of their environments and their personalities. Anything that struck you for the second season?
I feel like by being closer to them and by getting a lot more updates from them, our relationship with the interviewees have also sort of evolved in a way. And I think that's reflecting in the interviews that we've done. And that speaks for the solidarity theme that this whole project is based upon.
What struck me, I think among all of the episodes, was the episode with Mike, because I think the most interesting point that he mentioned was that, so traditionally or before the pandemic, people always thought about, oh, yeah, I'm going to travel to Europe. But people might think twice about going to Africa, for example. And now it turned the other way around, which is exactly what I find interesting, because I think it's such an asymmetry power dynamics between how countries and regions are put into certain hierarchies. And now because of it somehow challenged the taken for granted patterns, you know, or like the patterns that we usually commonly assume. So that was the thing that I find the most interesting for me personally.
I think for me that was Fida's episode about the pandemic in Gaza, because to me that is just a situation that is so foreign to me and I don't know much about it, and it was very fascinating for me to hear her talk about the situation there. And again, I emphasized the differences before, and we originally started this podcast to find the commonalities. But I think in season two, throughout, the differences showed more and became apparent. And what she told us was the most different from what I experienced. And at the same time, the situation there is so difficult. And she's scared that, as she said, everyone will get infected in the Gaza Strip, which is shocking. But at the same time, she still has the energy somehow and the empathy to think about, well, what does this mean for people who are hard of hearing or deaf? And yeah, that's just, it was fascinating to listen to that episode for me.
For me, I really enjoyed the contrast to that. We have the new interviewee, Dat, who's a pilot, and apparently Vietnam is doing quite well in keeping the numbers low, officially at least. And what I sensed the most from that was like, yeah, it's a pity that I cannot fly internationally as much as before, but hey, I can enjoy life. And he very clearly sees that his professional life is gonna grow as it did before. So maybe now it's just a little pause, or it's just a little decrease, but it will catch up. Tourism will catch up again. He was being super optimistic, which, as I just shared, at the moment I cannot share much optimism. I just I feel like this mood is just taking me down. Also in response to what Thomas just pointed out, that we were starting this project with the search for the commonalities, I would agree to you, Thomas, that maybe we just in season two we found out even more the differences that we all have, and something that we were slightly anticipating, but I think, to be honest, not that much by this point in time, that people will talk about the pandemic at a different time scale, like now for maybe people living in China, people living in Vietnam, I guess for people living in New Zealand, people can talk about it in past tense, right? Or something that restricts them in terms of maybe international traveling, but other than that, they can move freely, and we cannot, for example, and many others cannot. And maybe also coming back to Prata, what you said in the episode with Mike was that, yeah, actually it just shows these asymmetries of resources, of privileges we have, and how the pandemic is changing them, flipping them around.
I think with some of these other episodes, it's interesting to see how some of the interviewees are finding the opportunities within this period of time. Like I'm thinking about Didim, for example, that she was able to find a book contract. And she even said that perhaps the circumstances where she was able to get in touch with folks that, you know, virtually instead of being in person. And I think when thinking about Winnie's case, thinking about a career change that otherwise might not have come up, and even Mackenzie having the opportunity to have a gap year instead of just doing the traditional college experience, I think it's amazing to see how a lot of these folks that we've spoken to have found ways to make this positive. And I even think with Alkis, even though at the time of the interview he was facing a lockdown, he seemed positive about it. Like there wasn't as much shock as last time. So I feel like this is where everybody wants to throw something at me, but because of the phrase, the new normal, but I feel like everybody is acclimating to their circumstances, which is really encouraging, but also makes you wonder what is going to happen in the aftermath of this. How much of our orientations are going to change because of what we've all lived through?
I think to add something positive to it, I feel like with the vaccine, first of all, when the first vaccinations happened, that definitely had an impact on my mental health. So I felt more positive. And even though we know that it might take many, many months until most of us will get vaccinated, this is now the first time that that the end is in sight, and that we can see that things are now gradually going to get better. And I think that is a huge shift, because before we just didn't know how long this will go on for. And I think this changes a lot.
So we are now at the end of the year, and we are at the end of season two. How do you look into the next year, especially in regards to our podcast?
I think the thing that I'm excited for is completely unplanned. Mackenzie is going to be in another location. So she grew up in Connecticut. The first time I interviewed her was, I think, her very first week in North Carolina. Then I happened to interview her for the second episode when she was on her very last day in her apartment in North Carolina. And the next episode, she will be in Texas. So it's very interesting. She's going through this journey, and it feels exciting to be able to follow her, to see what she's making sense of new locations, especially new locations during a pandemic, and being really confronted by the differences of living in the South. So I think it's, for a cultural experience, I'm just happy to be a part of it. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing how things go with her new position down there.
In my episode with that, we talked about how people who work in the airline industry got discriminated sometimes by the neighbors in Vietnam. And just after the interviews, I think about 2 or 3 weeks, there was an incident in Vietnam that there was a new change of infection. And it breaks the records of like more than 90 days without new infection within the community. And it happened because one of the flight attendants from a repatriation flight, he kind of violated the quarantine regulation. And because of that, the public, or like many people, are angry with the group of people who work for the airline industry as a whole. And then there was an incident of people who put a burning cigarette on the uniform of one female flight attendant on her way to work, because she it's just because she is a flight attendant. So there is a huge discrimination in the community towards flight attendants or pilots. And I'm looking forward to get to know what that thinks about such incidents in the next episode.
For me, just very generally speaking, I think most of us and most of our interviewees are located in contexts where Christmas and or New Year's is very important, if not the most important holidays of the year. So how will people look back to that in our season three? Do they think, oh, I want to see my grandparents or want to see my broader family because this is what we do, this is the most important thing? Or would people still try to be careful or more careful? And then I'm looking forward to hear how that felt. And yeah, also for us to reflect on, it feels weird to not see my family. We here for my family, we decided not to meet. And then, yeah, I mean, we have very different interviewees. I'm really looking forward to hear how Mackenzie's doing. And also I think next time we will hear from her, hopefully the new president will be inaugurated. Fingers crossed for that. And Mike in Cape Town, last time we spoke, he said, yeah, so summer vacation is coming. They're on the Southern Hemisphere. So they hope for some relaxation, both mentally and in the medical terms for the pandemic. While, yeah, in Gaza, I follow the numbers and they're still just raising. They're climbing up rapidly. So I'm afraid that we might hear even bigger differences of what our interviewees experience.
Yeah, and even though I earlier tried to frame the vaccine as a positive message, I think it will also expose more differences. Like, I can imagine that access to vaccines is not everywhere the same in all the locations where our interviewees are. So I'm looking forward to hear about those differences.
What I would be interested in hearing more about is also, while trying to be more positive, is their post-COVID plan.
Yeah, there's also the question, do you want to go back to your pre-COVID life? Or do you want to go back to how everything was in 2019? And I think that here in New York, many people don't want to do that. You might miss like the bustling city, and that's always busy. But also, I think many people now realize it was just too much, and have to find a middle ground between sitting at home all the time and being out all the time. And I think the world has changed, the city has changed, and people have changed as well. And we won't go back to the pre-COVID life. So I think it's a really interesting question. What do you imagine life after COVID to be like?
Yeah, and maybe what changes that the pandemic brought you want to stick to? I mean, maybe some people have enjoyed the time being at home, working from home. Some people have maybe enjoyed traveling less. Some people miss it, but yeah. And actually, this is more on a funny note. I recently saw a survey on, just social media. People were asking Germany, do you miss shaking hands or hugging people? And there was a quite surprising amount of people who said, no, I actually don't miss it. I personally, I really miss physical contact. But I think that it was something around 10% of people who said, yeah, actually shaking hands or physical contact is not necessary. So it might bring a social change for all of us.
So what would be your answers for that question? I'm going to go around. Stephanie, do you think that handshakes and physical contact is necessary, or do you miss them at all?
I do miss it. I feel as well, handshakes, I think, are awkward. If you're giving someone a handshake, you don't know them that well. I miss hugs, though. I do feel like for friends and people that you actually do care about, now everybody who I give a handshake to is going to be like, she doesn't like me. but hugs, yeah.
Thomas.
Similarly, I feel like handshakes are through COVID, I realized, oh, they're pretty gross. Like, can you imagine, like, in the next flu season post-COVID to shake hands with people? It's, like, weird. But, yeah, hugs, I do miss as well. Like, the people that I love, I want to hug them again. Yeah.
And Brett, huh?
Shaking hands is a very formal thing, I think. So I don't miss it as such. Hugging also, I don't hug people other than people that are closer to me. And now I'm in a new city. I don't have anybody whom I can call friends or close to me. So I'm in a weird situation. So I can't say I'm really missing hugging people.
So Matthias, what about you? Did you say, do you miss hugs, handshakes?
Yeah, I feel sort of distant to people if I don't have any physical contact, even if it's professionally. Like I'm a handshaking person, I would say. And I prefer hugs to those people that I feel comfortable with. But I saw so many friends now in pandemic times where just like, you know, this shy or awkward moment of standing in front of each other, just waving
yeah.
and just saying goodbye, like on the 2 meter distance. Yeah, I still feel weird about it.
I think, yeah, I don't miss handshaking, but I do miss hugging and just the feeling of like being in the crowd, you know, like in surrounded by other people. I used to live in Tokyo, which is a super crowded city, and I used to commute every day. So the feeling of like standing on a crowded train, actually, like, I got used to it. And now it's just so weird that I even if I went out, if I go out jogging, and then I would try to stay away as far as I could from other people, from other runners or other people who I cross by. And yeah, I mean, I just did it instinctively. But I also think that, yeah, I do miss the feeling of like being in a crowd or like being surrounded by people without feeling insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree. When I was in Ramallah 2 weeks ago, I only went out to the bank and the grocery store, but even in the streets, I would like go in zigzag from one side to the other just to avoid getting too close to people. I felt like if someone would watch me doing that, they would feel like I'm really nuts.
Yeah, you should see me walk around my neighborhood. There's obviously no other people. And if we're on a sidewalk, I will find an opportunity, like any awkward opportunity. And my husband's always embarrassed by it, that as soon as I see someone, I will like directly change directions.
Well, to maybe close our perspective of a new year, we just learned that we have secured some funding to proceed beyond season 3. So I'm personally very much looking forward to develop this podcast further and hear more of the interviews we have and possibly new ones.
On that note, we couldn't do it on our own. We don't have enough funds to pull this together on our own. We have some funds now from Robert Bosch Foundation, but when it runs out, and we do want to continue this podcast in one form or another, so we would really seek help from you guys. We're going to set up a Patreon page. If you guys like what we do, and if you would like us to continue, please chip in a dollar or two on a Patreon page, which will be set up very soon.
Like and subscribe.
It's interesting to talk about it because when Matthias and Kim, when you first thought about this podcast and when we all came on board and started the project, we felt like, okay, yeah, let's plan for 3 seasons and then this will be mostly over, right? It will be like before, during and after almost. And now we're like, we can't stop making this podcast after season 3. Because the thing that we are reporting on is not over, right? The pandemic is going to continue, so we have to continue with Record of Change. And we now need to find ways to make that happen.
And that's why we need your support through Patreon. Help us continue.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe to add one sentence to what you said, Thomas, is yes, it's interesting because I think Kim and I designed the basis for this podcast in March or so, or was it April? Let's say spring. We designed it in spring. And yes, we thought of a project that would run maybe half a year, a bit longer. And by then, we hopefully have gone through it and can look back to the pandemic. Yes, so now we're still in the middle of it and we can, well, to use Thomas, to use your words, we can't see a small light in the end, at the end of the tunnel, but it's by far not over yet.
Oh yeah.
This was the last episode of season 2. We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. We will return with season 3 in January 2021. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe to our feed as it makes it easier for others to find the podcast. If you enjoy Record of Change and would like us to return for future series, then please become a member of our Patreon community. You will receive early access to the new episodes, bonus content like behind-the-scenes insights from the Record of Change team, and the opportunity to pitch questions for our interviews alongside helping us to make the show. Even the smallest level of support could be a great boost as we strive to document the impact of COVID-19 on communities throughout the world. Thank you for your support. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners. Happy New Year, everyone.
See you next year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, guys, in whatever form you're celebrating.
And let's all say bye to 2020. Oh,
yes.
Oh, finally. Yeah.
What a year.
Good riddance. Good riddance.